Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
That he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jump down to verse number 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. As we dive into the word this morning, we're going to spend a few moments talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to use these scriptures as a platform or a springboard, if you will, into what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Here you have Jesus, and he, right before he is crucified, he's having a conversation with his disciples. And the Bible tells us, actually, the Bible tells us in these scriptures that for 40 days, Jesus had given his disciples convincing proofs that he was still alive. But on one occasion, he commands his disciples to wait for the gift that the Father promised. And he said that John baptized with water, but in a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, he tells them to wait for a gift. Now, the gift is the Holy Spirit. It was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It was God's presence that would live within our lives, that would come to us. Now, Jesus told the disciples that this gift would come. And this is what I need you to understand, is prior to Jesus' death on the cross, the Holy Spirit's power was not entirely available to God's people. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would empower men to bring about God's will. Jeremiah 27:5 tells us, with my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are in it, and I will give anyone to anyone I please. See, God would empower his servants to accomplish great tasks, but although the Holy Spirit was not permanently available to God's people, he worked through them and gave them power to achieve things they would not have been able to accomplish on their own. So when Jesus told his disciples that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, in essence, what he was telling them, the power that you did not have access to before, you will now have power to. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now that word power, by definition, means the ability or strength to perform an activity or deed. Power in the New Testament is sometimes used interchangeably with authority. So in other words, when he said you would receive power, what he was telling them, you will receive authority. And you and I have to understand, when we're walking with the Holy Spirit, when we invite and make room for the Holy Spirit at our table, we walk in authority. You ever watch, I forgot what movie it is, but there was a kid that was eating. Lunch, and one kid went to go sit next to him, and he looks up at the boy and he says, this seat's taken. I wonder how many of us spiritually, when the Holy Spirit wants to dine with us, when the Holy Spirit wants to communicate with us, maybe, possibly, we have the attitude that tells him, this seat is taken. See, I'm not talking about just living a Christian life and doing moral things. I'm talking about living according to the Bible and doing them because I believe them. And because the Holy Spirit has imparted it into my spirit that I want to be more like him. And because I want to walk in holiness, not because I'm afraid to go to hell, but because I love him. I want to walk in justice. I want to walk in holiness. And I want to love the way he loved. And the only way that that is possible is when we have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible tells us in Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. Again, I don't want to walk powerless. I don't want to be bound to everything that hits me. There are so many things that come from my mind. I don't know about you, but the devil tries to play trick on my mind. I play tricks on my own mind. I get into thinking, and someone said into that stinking thinking. I start thinking of things, and I get complexes. And when I give into specific thoughts, if I don't give those things over to the Lord, I will then be bound to the things that I play with in my mind. But the Bible tells me that I have authority to overcome all the powers of the enemy, and that there is nothing that can harm me. And I don't know about you, but if that is a promise and God is giving that to us, why wouldn't we take it and run with it? See, this power is readily available to you and I. The power to be effective in life, the power to overcome every bondage, the power to overcome circumstances, and the power to overcome the enemy, listen to me, is available to us through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Prior to Jesus' death, we were powerless. But because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave on the third day, we can have a relationship with God. We can commune with Him and the Holy Spirit. See, it's not enough to just say I love God. It's not enough to just say I read my Bible. But in the day that we're living in, we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Like I mentioned earlier, when you look at what's going on around us, I was hurting and I was aching. You know, last night I literally got on my knees and I started interceding for George Floyd's family. You know, there's a lot of talk about how we're angry and how we're frustrated. But my question, have you truly prayed? Have you truly prayed for his family? Have you truly prayed? Because sometimes we say things like, I'll pray for you, but how many of us actually pray for them? We say things like, I love the inner city, but how many of us are actually doing something for the inner city? I'm just saying that this is a season where we need the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit's power that will give us courage to act when we don't know what to do. It's the Holy Spirit that will give us wisdom for the plan and the strategy for our city. I was praying last night and I was saying, God, give me a strategy. God, I don't want to come back to church business as usual. I literally want to impact these streets. I literally want to make change. I literally want to change the course of a young man's life. I truly want to change the course of somebody's marriage that's falling apart. I truly want to make an impact and help someone that's on the verge of suicide live with joy because God loves them. And I'm asking God, use my life. The only thing that God keeps putting in my heart is that I need a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need to commune and ask Him for guidance. I need to ask Him what is on His mind. Are you hearing me this morning? See, the Holy Spirit is the mysterious third person of the Trinity through whom God acts. Listen to this. He is the third the Holy Spirit is the mysterious third person of the Trinity through whom God acts, reveals His will, empowers His people, and makes His presence known to us. See, one of our foundational beliefs as Christian is the doctrine of the Trinity, which means that there is one God who exists in three distinct persons. In other words, three different functions. There is God the Father, right? There is God the Son. We know that God the Father is the creator of all things and the all-authoritative God. And then you have God the Son, the one who came and died for our sin, the one who answered to God the Father. But then there was another, the Holy Spirit. I mentioned earlier, we know God the Father. We know God the Son. But do we truly know God the Holy Spirit? This morning, I want to bring clarity as to who the Holy Spirit is. So I ask you, who is the Holy Spirit? Biblically, who is the Holy Spirit? Do we understand His function? Do we understand how to commune with Him? Are you hearing me this morning? So I want to answer that question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, to better understand who the Holy Spirit is, it's best to look to Jesus and the words He used to introduce the Spirit to his disciples. See, in John chapter 14, Jesus is sitting with his disciples. It's not a public setting. Jesus isn't teaching a large crowd. He's in a small group having dinner with those that are closest to him. Jesus knew that in a few hours he would be betrayed. He would be put to death on the cross. Knowing what his disciples would go through, Jesus gives the apostles final instructions that was wrapped in a promise. And this is what he tells them. The first thing that he tells them, don't let your hearts be troubled. I am going away, but I will come back. And then he tells them these words, John 14, 15, and 18. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray with the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot, whom the Spirit of truth cannot receive, because neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you, and I will not leave you. Orphans, I will come to you. So here Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he's giving them a promise. And what a beautiful promise it was. He said, if you keep my commandments, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you, here's the key word, another helper. Here he distinctively talks about a different person. Here Jesus introduces to his disciples another person who he refers to as a helper. Now that word helper, when you translate it in the Greek, it's a word called parakletos, which means the Greek word only, which it only appears five times, but what it actually means, it means a helper. It means an advocate. The second definition talks about someone who goes before a judge to intercede on their behalf. So here Jesus is saying that I'm going to send you a helper. And it's the Holy Spirit's role. It's the Holy Spirit's job to communicate with us. It's the Holy Spirit's role to guide us. It's the Holy Spirit's role to heal and to give wisdom. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Let me give you four things that the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit actually does. Number one, this is what the Holy Spirit will do for you once you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? Well, when I accept Jesus in my heart, don't I automatically have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You got to develop one. You know that I specifically pray, Holy Spirit, you got to show me. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I need you to give me with Holy Spirit, enable me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, break through for me. Holy Spirit, touch him, touch her. Holy Spirit. How often do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're a mature Christian, you may understand this, but I'm talking to those of us, no matter where you're at in this walk, you got to be careful that you don't get nonchalant about your relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is readily and available to give us wisdom for all situations. So let me give you four things real quickly that the Holy Spirit does for us. Number one, the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, will teach us all things. John 14, 26 says this, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. See, there is no subject the Holy Spirit is not an expert in. God can teach us all things. That which you don't know, God could make known to you. And this is in all areas. Listen to me. He is an expert. I remember when they first asked me to take over a ministry in my church and they asked me to be a leader, I didn't know what I was doing. They said, would you be willing to take it? We see the call of God upon your life and we know God's called you to be a leader. And I remember I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. I had no clue what I was doing. And out of nowhere, because of the anointing on my life, because of the calling, because of the willingness, and because I was surrendered and submitted, little did I know that God would give me the gifts that I need. The Holy Spirit would make known to me the decisions I needed to make. Are you hearing me? What I need you to understand is this. God doesn't look for the wise to use them in a great way. God looks for the willing. And the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, tells me, can teach you all things. You know, I'm inspired because I know a lot of musicians. And I remember when my brother was learning how to play the keyboard, we didn't come from a musically inclined family. But I remember one of our youth leaders, our piano player from our youth ministry had started playing in the adult service. And we had services simultaneously in the gang. And I remember that the leader told my brother, "You're going to be our next piano player." And he's like, "I've never played the piano in my life." "The Holy Spirit's going to teach you." And I remember this man would come and he would meet with my brother twice a week for 2 hours. And he would spend time with him playing. He had never touched a keyboard in his life, but he would pray, "Teach me this thing." There's other stories, like even Pastor Tom, he was our international music ministry overseer at one point. He tells the story how he would look at the piano and he would say, "Holy Spirit, teach me this thing." I got good news for you, that whatever it is that God puts in your heart, if you go before him and you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, he'll teach you. Even when you look at our worship leader, many of you know the story, some of you don't. I remember when he was taking over the worship, he led worship. He didn't play the piano, but I remember our piano player was moving to New York City. And then I remember looking at him and I said, "You got to learn. You got to learn how to play." And he's like, "Okay." And I'll never forget, he called me one day and he was crying. He said, "I understand how to play the piano. I don't understand, Pastor. I could play the piano." What happened? The Holy Spirit enabled. The Holy Spirit taught him. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, the Holy Spirit can teach you what you need to know to not only be effective in ministry, but to be effective in life, to be effective at your job. He can give you a trade. He can give you a skill. He can teach you all things. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. God has an ability to infuse within you the power and the authority and the skill that you need to be effective. Let me just bring it home. Acts 4:13, one of my favorite scriptures. This is a scripture that God gave me when I was young in the Lord and I felt I had an inferiority complex. I didn't feel like I could offer anything. And I remember God specifically gave me this story. John 4:13, it said, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. You don't have to be schooled. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated. All you got to do is have courage. All you got to do is live for me. All you got to do is be surrendered and be willing, and I will give you all that you need to be successful. So the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. The second thing that the Holy Spirit will do, listen to me, he will remind you of everything. In other words, God will bring into remembrance his word when you need it. Let me tell you, there are times that I had my back against the wall and didn't know what to do. And in an instant, the Holy Spirit brings the remembrance. And it's not all holy situations either. Come on, somebody. You ever been on the road and got flipped off by somebody? Huh? You want to say something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings the remembrance of scripture that you read. When somebody talks crazy to you, you want to lash back and you want to say something. "Hold on, I'm not a punk. Who are you talking to?" The Holy Spirit says, "Be humble." Come on, somebody. When you're ready to cut off a relationship because somebody hurts you and you're ready to walk away because that's just the way you've always done things, the Holy Spirit will remind you. Scriptures like in Philippians chapter 2 when it says, "In your relationships, follow that after Jesus Christ." And Jesus Christ never separated. And if anything, the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So if I am called to model my relationships after Christ, then what? Are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that the Word says. But let me just say this. How can the Holy Spirit bring to remembrance that which you don't read? The Word is so important. We can't just live off of emotions and goosebumps. We need to read the word. Even when you don't feel the Holy Spirit, even when you don't feel like you're getting revelation, don't worry about that. By faith, you read the word anyways. Because what will happen is you'll find yourself in a situation that you don't know what to do, and then the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that you read. This is why it's even important to come to church, to listen to the word. and hear the preaching of the good news. Because when your spirit is down, your soul will bear witness with what is true over what you may feel. And when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things and He will bring to remembrance. You know, even in times of persecution, He'll bring in remembrance. Look at Luke 12, 11 and 12. It says, when you are brought before the synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You know, I've had people talk about me in this walk. I've had people within my church, not even I wasn't even the pastor, when I've been a part of churches. And I'm a person that inside, like, I want to say something. Like, what'd you say? Hold on, what? But I've learned that I don't need to defend my cause. I only need to defend my cause to those who hold me accountable. And because I care about my reputation, because I care and I want influence, because I care what people think. I don't people please, but I care what people think. Why? Because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe I'm an ambassador. So I have to live a blameless life and being above reproach. So as long as I can communicate with those that maybe I've dropped the ball with, I don't have to worry about what the world says. And I don't got to put my feelings out there. I don't got to tell everybody. I don't got to fight everything. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is able to quicken my soul. Let me just say this for all of us that are hotheads. You don't always have to have the last word. Truth be told, those of us who battle with pride, the Holy Spirit often tells us, don't say anything. And it's in our best interest to respond. What am I trying to tell you? That the Holy Spirit will remind you of all things. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. John 14, 12 says this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, watch this, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into the truth. Notice Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the truth. This gives us great insight about who the Holy Spirit is and the power that He has. Jesus presents the Holy Spirit, listen to me, as the ultimate answer to overcome the undoing of the work of Satan. What God does, He ministers through the Holy Spirit to us. Are you hearing me? He will guide us in truth. He will teach us what's to come. And I don't know about you, but how many desire to walk in the power of God? If you desire to walk in the power of God and you want to experience the Holy Spirit's empowerment, then let me just say this. You have to be dedicated to the truth of God's word. You have to be willing to live it out. Truth has to trump my bias. Truth has to trump my emotions. And truth must trump my unforgiveness. Truth reigns. Are you hearing me? I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. See, the Holy Spirit comes to guide us in all truth. Watch what He says in verse 15. If you love me, Jesus told His disciples, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, there it goes again. He calls Him a Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him. Do you know that your soul bears witness with what's right and what's wrong? And when you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, you're willing to do what's truthful, not always what's right. There's a difference. You gotta do what's truthful. In other words, some things may feel right. No, that's not right. Just because you feel it's not right doesn't mean that it's truthful. But this is where we align our emotions to the Word of God. Are you hearing me? We cannot live in deception and walk in the power of God. Living in a worldly manner, listen to me, automatically forfeits our ability to walk in His power. That's a hard truth, but I didn't come here to pat you on the back and give you all these good. Listen, that's a hard truth. But in the day that we live in, listen, you cannot fight anger with anger. You cannot fight injustice with injustice. You cannot fight blow for blow or pain for pain spiritually, because our weapons are not carnal. Are you hearing me? Lastly, the Holy Spirit will tell us what's to come. And I find this fascinating. Listen to these words of Jesus. John 14:14b says, he will not speak. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That is heavy. That means there are things to come that Jesus didn't say that he would be made known through the Holy Spirit, which would then guide us for what we need to do. And this is where my prayer, that's the scripture that's been convicting my heart. I don't know what's to come. I don't know what's to come after this pandemic. And I don't know what's to come now that we're dealing with pandemic and with all the rage. I don't know what's to come, but you know what? I know who does. And I've been yielded. I've been asking, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom for the decisions that I need to make for my church, for the people that you've called me to pray for and love on. God, I need you to guide me. See, the key role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into the truth and reveal what lies ahead. The Holy Spirit will give us revelation. And this is why it is so important that we learn to respond and engage into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the voice that speaks to your inner soul. It's the still small voice you hear behind the message. It's the inner conviction of truth you feel when you are engaged in something you know shouldn't be. And as the musicians make their way, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say it again, is the voice that speaks to your inner soul. It's the still small voice you hear behind the message. It's the inner conviction of truth you feel when you're engaged in something you know is not right. See, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What happened on Pentecost Sunday? This is what happened. The people experienced in Acts chapter 2, they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. They experienced the inner small voice that spoke to the soul. They experienced a moving of the Holy Ghost. They experienced the inner conviction of truth. Let me read it to you, and then I'm going to sum up what I wanted to say today. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came and rest on each of them. Watch this. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know what Pentecost Sunday was really about? It was about a few things. Number one, it was the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that the Holy Spirit would come. It was the day the Holy Spirit would empower man. But you know what's the most important thing I want you to take away from Pentecost Sunday? Pentecost Sunday was the day that God united all nations. It was the day that God united the church. Watch this. I'm going somewhere. Acts 2, 5 and 12. Watch this. Now that we're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation, these are key words now, from every nation under heaven, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. See, when the Holy Spirit is moving, crowds will stop in bewilderment. Because each of them heard his own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? And watch how the Bible details all the nations that were there. Watch this. Parthians, Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pyria, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts in Judaism, watch this, Cretans and Arabs, who hear them declaring the wonders of God in other tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Let me tell you what it meant. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they were transformed. The Holy Spirit took a motley collective disciples who had followed Jesus for 3 years and turned them into a unified body. See, it is the Holy Spirit that unites us. The fact that the Bible takes the time to document the different nations showed there was no partiality. There can be no partiality within the church. At the end of the day, I'm a disciple. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter the race. We're all sons and daughters of the living King, and we have to stand the way Jesus would stand. We have to love the way Jesus would love. We have to speak against that which is not just, and we need to proclaim the truth. If you're a Christian, now is the time to stand up. Now is not the time to hide. Now is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to get comfortable. Our world is in an uproar, and God is looking to His church. God is looking for people. God is looking for leaders at their jobs, in their schools, in the neighborhood. And it's our responsibility. I've given my life to the inner city. Quit my job, moved from where I lived, came to a place called Tacoma. Because I've seen hurting people. I've seen families. And I know what it's like. I know who has the answer. Listen to me, church. It's the Holy Spirit that unites us in purpose. The Bible says because they were in one accord, then they heard a wind blowing. If there was ever a time that we needed to get together for prayer, it's now. If we ever needed to unite and intercede on behalf of our cities, it's now. The only person that can heal and transform the hearts of the hurting is the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you desire to make a change, if your desire is to be a beacon of hope, then you need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have to commune with the Holy Spirit. We have to make room. Listen to me. We have to make room for Him at our table. When we make room for the Holy Spirit to enter our lives, we experience God's transforming power. When we allow God to transform our lives, the Holy Spirit will work out what He needs to within us to make us effective. I end with this. It's time to ask God to fill us. It's time to say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And there are many that you need change, you want change. I remember I was like, how can I change? How can I change? If this water was dirty, the best way to get out all the impure water would be to grab clean water and flush it out. The more that you pour water into this bottle, the more the old water would come and the new. And for many of us, it's time for change. God can't pour new wine into old wineskins. Some of you gotta change. Yes, I said it. Some of you gotta change already. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about lives being lost. We're talking about freedom. It's time. Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they're with their brothers. And it goes on to say, Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen to me, prepare. When we come back, this is my prayer, that as we pray, we come to church early, we get on our knees before God so that when I want it to shake, I want God to show up, I want God to show out, I want God to break the mold, not only within my life, but in my philosophy. Listen, this